All right, good morning, everyone. I apologize for my delay this morning, but it is a great zuchos baruch Hashem to be here with all of you this morning. And I thank Rabbi Tzvi Rosenbaum for inviting me to be here with you during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Always a highlight of my Aseres Yemei Teshuva to come and share a few words of Torah with this.
Have 2 minutes to tell the students how you teach here.
Oh, okay.
And how long they will come back.
And I look forward to the guilt every single year when I come here, Baruch Hashem. Thank you. And Meretz Hashem, halavai one day. So, girls, it is a great schos Baruch Hashem to be here with you this morning. And I wanted to share with you, there's so much to talk about, so much to share. But I'll be makatzer this morning because, unfortunately, I'm a little bit late. But something dawned on me this year that, for whatever the reason, never really bothered me before. It's always interesting, right? You can say the same tefillas year in and year out, yet different things impact you in different ways at different times. So if you take a look at source number 2, there's a lot of interesting history about Avinu Malkeinu. But interestingly enough, what I want to point out to you is we say Avinu Malkeinu, Hachzireinu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Malkeinu, to me is like one of the most beautiful tefillos because it brings together these disparate identities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avinu, our father, representing a closeness. Malkeinu, our king, representing a little bit of a distance. But yet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have both of those relationships. He's our father and he's our king. And we say, Hachzireinu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. Bring us back in complete tshuva to you. What's the problem with that phrase? What's the problem? I gave you an extra 20 minutes like to relax and everything. Right? What's the problem with the phrase? The problem with the phrase is the Gemara number 3. The Gemara Maseches Nida, a beautiful Gemara that says as follows, Adar Shabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Osa Malach Hamamuna Ala Hirayin Laila Shmo. The name of the Malach, the name of the angel who is in charge of pregnancy, is named Laila, V'not Al Tipa, U'ma'amid Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says that it's actually interesting. Does this occur when a woman is pregnant, before a woman is pregnant? Whatever it is, the malach takes the tipa, the little droplet that one day is going to be a baby, and brings this little drop before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asks, Ribono Shel Olam, what is this child going to become? Gibar or Chala, strong or weak, Chacham or Tipesh, wise or foolish, Ashir or Ani, rich or poor. So again, all the different life questions, but the Gemara notes, V'ilu, Rasha o tzadik lo ka'amar. But there's one question that the Malach does not ask. Is the child going to be a Rasha or a tzadik? Righteous or wicked? Why is that? Ked Rabbi Chanina, Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. Everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the exception of your yiras shamayim. With the exception of your yiras shamayim. And this is a very profound Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines everything. You're going to be rich, you're going to be poor. You're going to be tall, you're going to be short. You're going to be wise, you're going to be foolish. All of those things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam himself decides. Now again, do I have to put in ishtadlus? Of course I have to put in ishtadlus. If a person sits and doesn't work and they think they're going to have money, they're not going to have money. It doesn't work that way. You know, people, it's interesting that a lot of times people like to focus on the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? What did Rashbi do? So Rashbi went ahead and he escaped to a cave and he learned Torah the whole day with his son, Rabbi Lazar, and Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam supported them. So people like to think, oh, what do you see from here? What's the lesson from that story? What's the lesson? That you have to do it. If you learn Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. That is true. If you learn Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will absolutely take care of you, assuming that you are absolutely good with Buxer and water. If you're good with boxer and water, absolutely. But if you need stylish clothing, nothing wrong with that. If you need a nice house, nothing wrong with that. If you need a late model car, nothing wrong with that either. But if you want any of those things, the Ribono Shel Olam is not delivering that to your doorstep without hishtadlus, and significant hishtadlus. You want to be mistapek b'muat. In other words, a person wants to say, I don't need any gashmias in this world, and all I need is simple existence, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me. Such a model like that exists. But high maintenance gashmias, enjoy it if you want to. But just make sure that you're willing to put in the necessary amount of hishtadlus in order to be able to have that. A very important lesson. So therefore, all of these things, I have to put in hishtadlus. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines, even with all of my hishtadlus, right? We see this in the world. There are people who put in a lot of hishtadlus, but still struggle financially. And then there are people who seemingly put in a little bit of hishtadlus, and yet are wildly successful. How do you explain that? And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. I don't know how to explain it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines, again, how much money I'm going to have at the beginning of the year. Just like he determines who's going to be healthy, who's going to be sick. All of these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines. But yet the Gemara says there is one thing that the Ribono Shel Olam does not get involved in. The one thing that the Ribono Shel Olam, Melech Malchei HaMelechim, is totally hands-off on, and that is your Ruchnius. That is your Ruchnius. The Ribono Shel Olam is not involved in your Ruchnius. Now, that's not a totally true statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in my Ruchnius, and we'll discuss how that happens in just a moment. But at the end of the day, the Ribono Shel Olam says, I'll control all the other factors around you. But the one piece that you are in charge of, the one piece you're in charge of, at the end of the day, is who and what you are. And this is perhaps one of the most important and profound lessons the whole year. Look what the Gemara quotes. Rabbi Chanina says, "Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim." Everything is in the hands of heaven except for yiras shamayim. How would you translate yiras shamayim? How do you translate it? Fear of heaven. Now I want to teach you something very important. A number of lessons we're going to learn this morning. Yiras Shamayim can't really mean fear of heaven. Why not? Rabbi Yitzhak Abradich of Zechusi Agin Alinu says something so beautiful. He says, when you fear something, what's your relationship to it? If you're fearful of something, what do? Distance, right? I'm fearful of fire, rightfully so. So again, I keep a distance. So the Rebbe says, our whole avoda in life, like David HaMelech says, Va'ani kirvas Elokim li tov. What I want more than anything in this world is a sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all I want. So how could it be, Yiras Hashem, I'm distancing myself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that's how the Rebbe really redefines it, as a reverence. A reverence. Yiras Hashem doesn't mean fear, but rather means to revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happens when you revere something? So when you revere something, it's on a pedestal. Right, it's on a pedestal, so it's not on the same level as me. It's a little bit removed, but at the same time, I can still reach out and touch it. I can still reach out to connect to it. So ultimately, again, Gemara says, "Hakol bidei shamayim." Everything is in the hands of heaven. And what does everything include? What does everything include? Everything includes everything. Everything is mamish. Everything. Everything in this world is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chutz, with one exception. Yiras Shamayim. And Yiras Shamayim in this context means your Ruchnius. Your Ruchnius is yours and yours alone. How your life is going to turn out, many of those factors are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the good news is that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us more than anything. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wants our tov, only wants our good. So that doesn't scare me. Then I'm not in control. You know, one of the most important things in Yiddishkeit is the ability to let go, to not be in control, which, you know, is interesting, because if there's one thing that people want more than anything, it is control. Why? I don't know. Anyone here like a control freak? No? All right, maybe you're too young for that. You can ask me, I'm a significant control freak, a micromanager, she'in kamo. But here's what's important to understand. Why do people yearn for control? Why? Where does that come from? So Rabbi Nachman writes that everything that we have, every emotion that we feel stems from the neshama. So remember, we are made b'tzelem Elokim. We're made in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what's the one thing that the Ribono Shel Olam has? What does he have? Control. So therefore, my tzelem Elokim, also yearns for control. That desire for control doesn't come from a bad place. It comes from the holy. It's something called Kodesh Kadashim. It's because I know deep down, like the Baal HaTanya says, I have a neshama. And that neshama is a chelek eloka mima'al mamish. It is literally, again, a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that there's literally a piece of the Ribono Shel Olam which resides inside of me, which means all of the midos of Hashem are inside of me as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has complete control over anything. And there's a piece of me that yearns for control. And that's why you see people struggle with this in their entire lives. You know, it's fascinating to see when people are undergoing crisis. It's fascinating. Hopefully no one here knows from crisis. But if you ever undergo crisis, crisis represents a lack of control. Something happens in my life and I'm out of control. And it's fascinating to see what people almost always do is that they will become obsessive about another part of life. You see this all the time. Someone, chas v'shalom, has a child who's ill, chas v'rachmana letzlan. They'll become compulsive about keeping their house clean. Why? Because we always have to exert control in some way. But again, it doesn't come from a bad place. It comes from a good place. This is not for today. If Rabbi Sarozan invites me back, you'll see that all of the things that we do, you ever wonder, and I cannot personally relate to this, but perhaps some of you could relate to this, window shopping. It makes no sense to me. I understand if you have to shop for something, you have to get, yeah, go. I was going to say go to a store, but nobody goes to a store anymore. You go online, right? But like, there's like a hana that people have of like looking at stuff. Hey, looking at stuff. So I don't know. I always think maybe like it's a man thing. I just don't understand certain things in this world. But it's interesting. Rabbi Nachman says people are naturally drawn to acquiring things. Right? We are very acquisitional beings. The Rebbe says, where does that come from? That comes from the fact that the neshama constantly yearns to acquire ruchnius. But the neshama puts out a message to the guf and it says to the body, acquire. How does the body interpret that? The body interprets that as material acquisitions. That's why we like to acquire things materially. We like material acquisitions so much that even if I'm not going to actively acquire something, I'm just looking at potentially or dreaming about acquiring something, somehow we get a hana. We get some level of enjoyment from that. It makes absolutely no sense. I understand if you buy something and you use it, but to get enjoyment from looking, but just understand all of that comes from the neshama. Everything we do somehow originates in the soul, in the neshama. But the greatest challenge of life is that often the body, the physicality of man, corrupts, distorts, changes that the message of the neshama is trying to put through. Okay, but back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Hakol b'deishayim chutz miyirah shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for your ruchnius. Now, how do you know that? Where does that come from? Where does that concept come from? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Shenemar, V'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokecha, shoel mi'imach, ki'im li'yira. So remember again, this is the famous pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu Chumash Devarim says to Klal Yisrael, he says, V'ata Yisrael, how would you translate? V'ata Yisrael? And now, right? Because remember, this is Ata with an ayin. And now, Klal Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokecha, shoel mi'imach. What does God ask of you? Ki'im li'yira, except to fear him, and then the pasuk goes on, to fear him, to love him, to revere him, so on and so forth. Yeah. So the Gemara Maseches Brachas, which I did not put on the sheet, the Gemara says, I don't understand. V'chi yira milsa zutrasihi. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu makes it sound like that Hashem asks so little from us. Because I was about to ask you, does Hashem ask so little from us? Do you think Judaism is a small ask or a big ask? It's a huge ask. It's huge. You know, sometimes we want to sound frum, so like you want to say, no, it's not, so it's manageable. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. If you're not overwhelmed by your Yiddishkeit, chances are you don't understand the enormity of the spiritual. Not overwhelmed, like I feel like I'm being crushed under a burden. But when you think about the expectations that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has of us, it can be overwhelming. It can absolutely be overwhelming. It could even be daunting. So the Gemara is bothered by this because Moshe Rabbeinu says, Klal Yisrael, come on, look how good you have it. All that Kodesh Baruch Hu is asking you is what? To fear him, to love him, to listen to his mitzvot, and to do what is good with his eyes. Oh, that's it, right? That's all. He's just asking me to keep Kala Torah Kula, to do everything, to avoid temptation. That's all, right? What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying in that one line is this very thing that most of us struggle with our entire life. So the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, don't you think you're minimizing things just a little bit? So now you understand that Moshe is not minimizing it. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, we spend our lives trying to control things that aren't really in our control. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, what are you going to do? You're going to worry about your parnasa? At the end of the day, what's our responsibility when it comes to parnasa? What's our responsibility? Hishtadlus. However hishtadlus is defined. Work hard. Put in your effort. You're going to obsess about your health, right? In other words, whether you're going to be healthy or get sick, you don't control that. And again, this is so many different things in the realm of shidduchim. And again, at every different stage in life, generally, we become a bit petrified about something. So in the realm of shidduchim, when am I going to find my bashert? How am I going to find my bashert? How am I going to know it's my bashert? And then a person gets married, having children. Then a person has children, Baruch Hashem. And every stage, and what Moshe Leinu says is, we spend so much time focusing and agonizing over the things we don't control. And meanwhile, Moshe Rabbeinu says, in the grand scheme of things, there's only actually one thing you control. One thing that is, now when I say you control, one thing that you and you yourself control. And what is that? What is that? That's your ruchnius. That is your religious identity. That is the only thing you control. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. And that says Moshe Rabbeinu, and Rabbi Nachman actually takes this a step further. He says something so beautiful. He puts, you know, part of the beauty of Hasidus is the great Hasidic masters, they put commas in different places in the Pasuk. And when you play around a little with punctuation, the Pasuk itself takes on like a totally different meaning. Rabbi Nachman says the way to read that Pasuk, which is the last line of number 3, is Vi'ata Kama. Vi'ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha Sho'im Mi'imach. Rabbi Nachman takes it a step further. You only control your ruchnius. And by the way, when do you control your ruchnius? When do you control your ruchnius? When? Right now. You cannot make any guarantees about anything in life for 5 minutes from now. I don't know if I'm going to be in the world in 5 minutes from now. That sounds morose, but I don't mean it like that. At the end of the day, we have absolutely no control over anything beyond the present moment. We like to make long-term plans, and we should make long-term plans. But at the end of the day, what control do we have? Rabbi Nachman says the only control you have is va'ata. Right now, there's a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara discusses, Gemara Masechet Shabbos. David HaMelech said, Ribono shel Olam, when am I going to die? David HaMelech says, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to die on Shabbos. David HaMelech said, I don't want to die on a Shabbos. I don't want to die on a Shabbos, you know, because again, if I die on a Shabbos, it's going to stare the Shabbos for Klal Yisrael, then all halachic complications. Let me die on Sunday. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you can't die on Sunday. Why not? Kivar higia eis Shlomo bincha limloch. Sunday already is the time for your son Shlomo's monarchy. Vein malchus nogea bechaver tafilu kemali neima. And one monarchy cannot overlap with another monarchy, even a hair's breadth. It's Shlomo's time. So the Mel says, okay, I'll die on Friday. I'll die on Erev Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara says that Mishameis be'erev Shabbos, if someone dies on Erev Shabbos, simin yafalo. It's actually a beautiful simin to die on Erev Shabbos. A person dies on Erev Shabbos, it represents like completion of a life. The same way, again, on Friday represents the culmination, the completion of the week. A person dies on Erev Shabbos represents ultimately, again, the completion of their life. So they'll die on Shabbos. Listen to Hashem Baruch Hu says to David. Hashem Baruch Hu says no. Says why? He says, David, one day of your life is worth more than the tens of thousands of karbanos that will be brought in the Beis HaMikdash that your son Shlomo will build. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, what do you see from that? You see from that the power of maximizing your present. See, girls, you're young, but I have a very strong feeling that a lot of your life is probably focused on your future, right? After all, again, you're in school, Baruch Hashem, because you're planning for your future. And everything is about your future. And it is important to plan for your future. But never plan for your future at the expense of your present, for one simple reason. Your future is a great unknown. Your present is here right in front of you. You know, I'll tell you a little, I'll tell you an interesting Maisa Shahaya. When I was first married, I was learning in Kolom, and I got a very good job offer, working, auditing a hedge fund, public accounting, auditing a hedge fund. And it was, I was a kid, and Baruch Hashem, this was a very good job offer. Like felt like a once in a lifetime, so I took it, and I remember being in accounting and surrounded by good people, And everybody was profoundly unhappy. Now, this is not to dissuade anyone from going into accounting, right? But profoundly unhappy. And it was so interesting to me. Like, so I wondered to myself, like, why is everybody sticking around if they're just so unhappy day in and day out? And then I asked around a little bit, and here was the cheshbon. The cheshbon was, at least in accounting, the way it works is like this. If you stick around, you enter in as a junior, you put in 3 years, you become a senior. Then 5 years, manager, right? 10 years, partner. 15 years, equity partner. And once you're equity partner, right, that's mamish godless. Godless. And that moment it struck me, that's fantastic. But to sign away your presence for something that may or may not occur in your future seems to be like a terrible gamble. Because that future may or may not come. But your presence, day in and day out, that's the life you're living right now. How can you sacrifice that for something that may or may not occur somewhere down the road? And to me, that was such an eye-opening experience. I left that job. But eye-opening experience. And a lot of the world lives that way. People go through their life and they're miserable. They don't like what they do for a living, but they do it because of whatever, some type of higher, or they don't like certain elements of their life, but they think it's okay. I'll just suffer through it because of some future potential payout. Now, part of being an adult is you have to do things you don't like to do because they're necessary for some type of ends. But that can't be the totality of your life. That could be a chilek. That could be a piece. That could be a detail. But you cannot give up the entirety of the beauty of the holiness of your present because of some potential future which may unfold. And Hashem Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, I'm not letting you leave this world one day earlier than you are supposed to. Because one day of your life in this world is more important to me than all of the karbanos that are going to be brought. That's what it means to maximize your day, to maximize your present. Do you ever wonder when we get up in the morning, right? First thing we say, Modani defanecha. I thank you, Hashem. Melechai v'kayom, eternal king. Shechazarta b'nishmasi. Right, you've given back my neshama, bechemla, with compassion, with kindness, rabba emunasecha. What does that last phrase mean, rabba emunasecha? Great is your faith in me. The first thing I do, and Chazal created this in a way that you say this without negel vaser. Right? That's the whole point. The first thing I open my eyes up in the morning, and I recognize, I open my eyes. Which means the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a gift of life. That gift is not given to everybody. On any given day, there are people who don't open their eyes. So Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to wake up. What does that mean? What does that mean at the end of the day if I open my eyes today? That means that Kadosh Baruch Hu has faith in me to do something great. He has faith in me to do something incredible. Not to schlep by, not to be mediocre, not just to check the boxes. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu does not give gifts to people if they're not going to maximize it. So if I was given a gift today that some segment of humanity did not receive this morning, Rabbi Munasacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much you must believe in me. How much you must believe in me. And that's the first thing. That's before I did anything today. I didn't even do anything today yet. But the fact that I woke up is the greatest, almost like divine, I was going to say pat on the back, but Hashem doesn't give us a pat on the back. It's a kiss on the head. Hashem Baruch says, Shefala, I love you. You're going to be fantastic. Go out and do something great. Don't tell me what you're planning to do. Don't spend your life just focusing on that future that may or may not materialize. Yes, plan for your future. But while planning for your future, make sure to maximize your present. That, says Rabbi Nachman, is V'ata. V'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha She'ol Mi'imach. It's not just that Hashem only asks us to be proficient in our ruchnius, but Hashem asks us ultimately just to be proficient now. The Ribbon Shel Olam does not ask us for any more than we're capable of delivering. Girls, let me ask you, what's the most you could deliver on any given day? What's the greatest expectation anyone could have on any given day? What's the expectation? To maximize the moments right in front of you. No one could ask you for any more than that because you can't guarantee that. You can't guarantee what's going to happen at in 10 minutes from now. You can't guarantee what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. You can't guarantee any of that. Instead, all you can guarantee is, Ribono Shel Olam, I am ready to maximize the Atah, the present moment in front of me now. And this becomes, I believe, the secret to say, it's not a secret. It's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us. The Atah Yisrael. Stop focusing on all the things you can't control. Stop focusing on all the things that give us so much stress. But no matter how much stress, no matter how much you stress over it, right? Whatever your particular stressors are, think about, right? Whatever you stress over most, think about, does stressing more over it help you or not? Chances are the answer is it doesn't help. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, so why are you using all of your emotional, mental, and spiritual energy towards something you don't control? Put your kochos into the things you do control. And the only thing you really control in this world is what you're doing with your life right now. You have to plan. You can't absent yourself from future planning. But at the end of the day, you have to learn the art of maximization of the moment. You know, this is the famous art. During Aseres Mitzvah, the halacha is that one is supposed to take on certain chumras. Certain chumras, right? What are the chumras of Aseres Mitzvah? Like, Pas Yisrael, Chalav Yisrael. You know, so the question always is the same, right? What's the famous question on these practices? What's the famous question? I'm sorry? No, I'm thinking now, come on. I mean, okay, look, person who keeps Pas Yisrael, Chalav Yisrael all the time, all right, so fine, anyway, you're doing it anyway, so you're not doing anything additional. But let's say you don't, right? Plenty of gravy bowl, not Makbidan, Chalav Yisrael, Pas Yisrael. So again, so good. So Shkrech, I'm going to do it for 4 days, and then what? I have absolutely no intention of doing it after Yom Kippur. So I don't say, we're playing games over here? We're playing games? Like, it's like dress up, like spiritual dress up. Look at me, I'm so from. And if you're going to be so from, I don't know. I think that there are probably other things that a person should start with between like cosmetic things like that. But what's the pshat? It's not fake. It's just saying, I know that I could affect change in my day-to-day life if I want to. That's the message there. Something as simple as what pretzels you eat, right? You can go ahead and make that decision. What milk you're going to drink. You can make differences. You can make changes in your day-to-day life if you want to. That's all that Chazal was teaching. I want to tell you something. Eating Chalav Yisrael, right? Chalav Yisrael, Pas Yisrael, I guarantee you that is not going to be the thing that tilts the scales in your favor in Shamayim. Right? It's not going to be like the Beis Din Shamal is sitting there. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Baracha ate prior to the farm. You know, now we're good to go, right? It's not going to be that ice cream. That's not it. It's nice. It's great. It's a good hakpad, especially we live in America. There's no reason not to be makbid on Chalav Yisrael and Pas Yisrael. There's enough options for us. But okay, you'll consult your local orthodox, what you should do about that. Right? But Lamaisa, it's not going to tilt the scale. But what it does is it shows me that I am capable of affecting change in my life. We spend so much time focusing on the things that we can't control that we forget to flex our personalistic muscles and affect change in the areas of life we do control. You control your midos. You control your temperament. You control how you talk. You control your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You control how you interact with other people. You control your Avas Yisrael. You control all of those things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not my department. I don't deal with your Ruchnias, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Now, the beautiful part is, B'derech she'adam rotze leilech molichen oso. Whatever path you want to take in life, Hashem's going to help you on that path. So if you choose to exercise your personal muscle in building up your Ruchnias, Hashem says, good, I'll help you with that. But it's not my problem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Your Ruchnias is not my problem, God says to us. Everything else about your life, I'm intimately involved in, but your Ruchnias is yours and yours alone. We control who and what we are. And I think so much, you know, it struck me again. I don't know why these things are striking me this year more. You know, whenever we make the bakashas, right, one of the most interesting things about the tefillas of Yamim Noraim is that normally in Shmona Esrei, right, where do you have bakashas? Where do you have petitional requests? Where? Where? In the middle brachas. We never make any petitional requests in the beginning, in the first three brachas. The exception to that is Yamim Noraim, right? Where we insert Zachrinu L'chaim. Zachrinu L'chaim. But it's interesting, right? I don't say Zachrini L'chaim. It's Zachrinu L'chaim. Zachrinu L'chaim. Now, what's the pshat? Why is it Peloshen Rabbah and why is it plural? So again, the simple idea is because, in general, we always have a greater possibility of our requests being granted when we embed ourselves in the collective. That's always true. But I think on an additional level, Chazal wants us to be very careful about getting too caught up in bakashas that are totally up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not really within our purview. Life or death, that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ribbono Shel Olam has a lot of different cheshbonos that he brings into that. Parnasa, up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, I need to ask for everything that I want and I have to put in my ishtadlus. But I think it's dafka, not phrased in the singular, because that's actually not what Chazal wanted us to focus on this time of year. As crazy as that sounds, life and death is actually not the primary focus. What's the primary focus? What's the primary focus of this time of year? Hayom haras ha'olam. The world is being recreated anew. The world is brand new. And what's the avod of yamim noraim? To recreate ourselves. And you'll say to yourself, well, hopefully all of you are too young to ever say something like this, but as you get older, people say, I can't recreate myself. I can't recreate myself. I'm too set in my ways. I hope no one here feels that way. But even if you chas v'shalom do feel that way, it's not true. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. At the end of the day, we control who and what we are. There's something you don't like about yourself, change it. There's something you want to stop doing, stop it. You know, there's a famous Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that generally, for every midah, you're supposed to find the derech hamamutza, the middle path. There's one midah, the Rambam says, that a person should totally eradicate. What's the one negative midah that no person should have? Kas. Even gaiva. Arrogance, you have to have a little bit. Shminis shebishminis. You have to have like a little bit, the Gemara says, because without any gaiva, a person could become like a shmata. But kas, the Rambam says, you have to obliterate it. So asks the Rambam, so what happens if a person has a short temper? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands who has a short temper, right? Some of us like are pre-programmed like that. We have a short fuse. What do you do if you struggle with anger? What does the Rambam say? Stop getting angry. You're like, shkoyach, right? Thank you, right? What a profound piece of Maimonidean advice, right? I have a problem with getting angry. What's the answer? Like drum roll. Stop getting angry. Yeah. You know what the Rambam's saying? You control you. You control you. It's not that your mother didn't give you enough love, your father didn't give you enough attention, your teacher never gave you snack last, or whatever else it is, your friends aren't nice to you, not popular, you didn't have this, you didn't have that. Might all be true. All of us have baggage. We all have stuff. And we all have parts of our lives that we wish were different. Such is the nature of life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I got it, but now take control over your life. You control you. No one else. Not your parents, not your friends, not your teachers. You control you. Hopefully, all the people around you are positive influences and help you in your journey of growth. But at the end of the day, you and only you are responsible for the person you become. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. Change is possible. Change is probable. But we have to go ahead and be willing to do it. Let's come full circle in the minute that we have left. So what does that have to do with Avinu Malkeinu? Okay, so next year, Miras Hashem, we'll do the rest of the source sheet because a lot of interesting stuff here. But what's Avinu Malkeinu? Hachzirenu b'tshuva shleima lifanecha. So at the end of the day, like, what does that mean? If HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyiras Shamayim, if at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't control my ruchnius, so how could I ask him to bring me back in tshuva? How could I do that? So the Balatanya, Rav Shneur Zalman Levi Adi says something so beautiful, and this I'll conclude. The Balatanya says that, you know, sometimes you could be standing right next to someone. And what happens? But yet, if you're standing back to back, you'll never see them. I'm literally, I can imagine, like I'm standing right next to Ruvain, but we're standing back to back. So I don't see him, he doesn't see me, but literally we're right next to each other. We're standing right next to each other. The Balatanya says, that's Avinu Malkeinu, Hachzireinu b'tshuva shlema lefanecha. Just help me turn around a little bit to see that I'm really right next to you. I'm really here. I'm really here. I have that relationship with you. Because sometimes at the end of the day, we think that we've drifted so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we feel like we're damaged goods. We feel like we can't get it together. We feel like we're not going to amount to anything because we feel so distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But meanwhile, it's true. My back may be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of many of the things that I've done throughout the year. I may have my back to Hashem, and maybe His back is even to me as a result of a variety of things that I've done. But we're still right next to each other. So all I need is Avinu Malkeinu, Hachzireinu b'tshuva shlema lefanecha. I don't need you to help me return, because that's my job. What I need you is to help me just turn around. Just give me the chizik to face you, and then I'll realize I'm right in your presence. And once I realize that I'm right in your presence, that will give me the chizik. That will give me the strength to take control over the one thing I really do control, which is my spiritual identity, and begin on the beautiful journey of creating my new self. You know, it's Tavshin Pei Vav. Tavshin Pei Vav. Tavshin Pei Vav, perhaps, is an acronym for Tehei Shnas Piri of Arivia. And Tehei Shnas Piri of Arivia should be a year of Puhu Ravu. That can mean a lot of different things. First of all, anyone looking for a Shidduch in Yeretz Hashem should be Zocha to find the Shidduch Chagun. And those Baruch Hashem who have found their Basharet Shem Yeretz Hashem Bizocha to Zeresh Al Kayama, to have children. But you know, there's another type of birth in this world that's not related to marriage and not related. The most beautiful birth in this world is when we birth ourselves. Each of us has the ability to, so to speak, birth a new image of ourselves. It's a new year. It's a new world. And there's no telling what we could create. Sometimes the most beautiful thing that you create is you. You just have to have the courage to engage in the act of personalistic piria verivia. To engage in that act of birthing and creating that new you. It's the one thing we control, and it's the one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us for. So I take the opportunity to wish all of you, it should be a beautiful year. A year filled with mazel, with bracha, with simcha, with kol mishavos libchen letova, and bracha atshiv lesifso seichin yilo mardai. Whatever it is that you're asking from Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu Shidem Yeretz Hashem, give it to you. It should be a year filled with besoros tovos eklal Yisrael, a year in which all of our hostages come home, a year in which all of our holy soldiers are successful b'chol ma'asei yadeim and are showered with shmir yisir hashkacha pratis, and our zocha to be successful on behalf of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, a year in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers the ever-elusive bracha of shalom on Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and most of all, a year of Avinu Malkeinu Achzireinu B'tshuva Shleima Lefanecha. We're so close. We're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closer than we could ever imagine. All we need to do is turn around a little bit, recognize that the Melech, Avinu Malkeinu, is right here, just waiting for us to take the reins and make the best version of ourselves. And may Tavshin Pei Vav, the year of Piria Verivia, and Yiras Hashem be the year where we finally birth the best version of ourselves. And in that Zechus, the year should birth something else. It should be a year of birth for the Geula, for the third base Hamikdash, and for Mashiach Tzidkim, Mehira B'Yameinu. Amen. Sorry for the delay again. My apologies.
Thank you.
Yeah, next year. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you again.
Okay. Everyone, be fun. And come back to our 12th time.